You're listening to KBOO. The time here is 1 minute after 11 in the morning.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212 or on the web at radiocab.net.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
This is the latest attempt by the Bush administration to chill dissent in this country, but we will not be deterred. In fact, this Saturday we'll be back in the streets to protest against this war and to assert our rights, our constitutional rights, to free speech and assembly.
Tim Vining is head of the Thomas Merton Center in Pittsburgh. Newly released files show the FBI has been monitoring and possibly infiltrating the peace group because of its opposition to the war in Iraq. Then, concerned about growing desertion and resistance within the military, the government is arresting men who refuse to fight in the Vietnam War a generation ago. We'll speak with a Vietnam War resistor who was jailed in January for desertion, 40 years after he left the Marines. And this week is Sunshine Week, when newspapers and broadcasters challenge government secrecy. We'll speak with Maria Hinojosa of PBS Newsweekly now. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. An Israeli military raid on a Palestinian jail has ignited a new crisis in the occupied territories. On Tuesday, Israeli troops invaded the main prison in the West Bank town of Jericho, seizing five Palestinians accused of assassinating former Israeli tourism minister Rehavam Zivi. Israel used helicopters and tanks to fire at the prison before smashing through its walls with armed bulldozers. Two Palestinians, including a security guard, were killed in the assault. Ahmed Sadat, the leader of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and four others, had been in the prison under guard from British and U.S. jailers. But early Tuesday, the British government removed the supervisor, citing security reasons. The Israeli government said it raided the prison to prevent a Hamas government from carrying out a promise to release the prisoners. Following the raid, armed Palestinians kidnapped at least nine foreigners in the West Bank and Gaza. Armed men also stormed the British Council and EU offices in Gaza. Many Palestinians accused the British and U.S. governments of colluding with Israel in the raid. The British government denied the allegations. The Palestinians' allegations were bolstered when it was revealed the Israeli troops raided the prison just 30 minutes after the British monitors had been withdrawn. Following the attacks, Nabil Abu Rudaine, who is an advisor to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, addressed the crisis.
The president is going back tonight, back home. The situation is very difficult and very serious. The Israelis violated the agreements. The Israelis committed a crime. And we condemn this action. And we urge the Europeans and the quartet as well, and the United States, to do all their best to keep the lives of the kidnapped persons in the prisons. So far, the Israelis are endangering the peace efforts, which is carried out by the Europeans and the quartet as well.
Does it have an impact on the negotiation of the further government?
Definitely, it will reflect negatively on many things, on the truce and on the negotiations and on our relation with the Israeli authorities for the coming weeks. So far, we urge the quartet, and especially the Europeans, to do all their best to safeguard what remained from the peace process.
Are you getting help from Europe and from the United States?
From Europe, yes, we are getting all the support, all the financial and political support, and we hope that they will continue supporting the Palestinian people and not allowing or not punishing the Palestinian people for carrying out a democratic and honest elections.
Nabil Abu Rudaine, advisor to the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. All the hostages have been released. Violence continues to grip Iraq. on Tuesday. Authorities recovered the dead bodies of at least 87 men. Most showed signs of execution-style gun wounds or strangulation. In Baghdad, at least 29 bodies were found stacked in a massive grave. Meanwhile, the Iraqi Interior Ministry said it has foiled a plot that would have placed hundreds of al-Qaeda operatives at guard posts throughout Baghdad's Green Zone. The area houses the Iraqi government as well as the U.S. Embassy. Several high-ranking defense ministry officials have reportedly been jailed in the plot. At the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld hinted Tuesday the U.S. might increase its troop presence in Iraq. Speaking to reporters, Rumsfeld said the U.S. may want to bulk up its troop presence ahead of the upcoming Shia Muslim holiday of Ashura. Meanwhile, the top U.S. military commander said Tuesday there is no evidence Iran is aiding the Iraqi insurgency. At a Pentagon briefing, General Peter Pace, chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was asked if he thought Iran was arming militants or sending weapons to Iraq. Pace replied, "I do not know, sir." Or he said, "I do not, sir." Pace's comments appear to contradict recent statements made by both President Bush and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld linking the violence in Iraq to the Iranian government. In further Iraq news, Knight Ridder is reporting the U.S. government has increased airstrikes by more than half in the last 5 months. According to military figures, U.S. forces have dropped at least double the number of bombs on Iraqi cities than they did during the same period a year ago. This year, U.S. warplanes have struck at least 18 different cities. In other Iraq news, the Associated Press is reporting electricity output has reached its lowest point since the period right after the U.S. invasion of Iraq 3 years ago. Some analysts believe Iraq may have to turn to neighboring Iran to solve its energy crisis as early as this summer. Iraq's electricity grid has suffered numerous problems since it was targeted in the U.S.-led invasion in 1991. It's currently able to meet less than half of Iraq's needs. Iraqi concerns for the grid's recovery have been stoked by dwindling reconstruction funding from the U.S. According to the Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction, current funding is over $200 million short of meeting the grid's minimal needs. In Thailand, tens of thousands of protesters continued their campaign to force the resignation of the prime minister. In Bangkok, a crowd of over 700 students, union workers, teachers, and activists blockaded the prime minister's offices. That's 70,000. The prime minister vowed to impose emergency rule if the protests turned violent. But in a blow to his authority, military leaders distanced themselves from his warnings and indicated they would not enforce the emergency measures. The prime minister is a billionaire reelected in a landslide victory last year. He's faced growing criticism following the January sale of a telecom company that reaped his family nearly $2 billion tax-free windfall. Here in the United States, Senator Russ Feingold has lashed out at fellow Democrats for not supporting his measure to censure President Bush for his warrantless domestic spy program. Feingold has failed to attract any co-sponsors. Appearing on Fox News, Feingold said, quote, "I'm amazed at Democrats cowering with this president's numbers so low. The administration just has to raise the specter of war and the Democrats run and hide. Too many Democrats are going to do the same thing they did in 2000 and 2004. Feingold went on to say Democrats shouldn't cower to the argument that whatever you do, if you question the administration, you're helping the terrorists, he said. In other news, the case against 9/11 suspect Zacharias Moussaoui was dealt a serious blow Tuesday when a federal judge barred the prosecution from calling nearly half of its key witnesses. The ruling followed the disclosure a government lawyer had improperly coached several witnesses. Moussaoui has already pled guilty, but now a jury is deciding whether he should be sentenced to death or life in prison. In other news, the Boston Globe's reporting the Pentagon has asked Congress for hundreds of millions of dollars to test weapons in space. The Globe calls the request the biggest step toward creating a space battlefield since President Reagan's so-called Star Wars program. The budget request would fund a variety of tests on several weapons. Military specialists believe the Pentagon is operating several other space weapons programs not disclosed in its budget request. Philip Coyle, who served as the Pentagon's top weapons tester from 94 to 2001, criticized the new emphasis on space weaponry at a time when, quote, there is no threat in space to justify a new arms race in space. And in New Orleans, the NAACP has called on the Justice Department to block the upcoming mayoral election amid concerns substantial numbers of the city's residents have been disenfranchised. NAACP President Bruce Gordon said the government has not done enough to guarantee New Orleans residents, most of whom are African American, a chance to vote. Louisiana Secretary of State Al Adder, the state's top elections official, denounced the NAACP's demand, saying, quote, "This will be the most accessible race in the history of America." State officials have rejected calls to set up satellite polling stations in cities such as Houston, Atlanta, where there are large numbers of New Orleans residents displaced by Hurricane Katrina. Those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.